gathered last night to discuss some of the background about Tu B'Av, which is coming up this coming Thursday night. So let's just go a little bit more into this, and maybe this tomorrow night I am not planning on being here. I assume many of us will be at the Siyum HaShas, so we'll continue on Thursday night. Again, the mission tells us in Tainis Daf Chaf Vav Amud Beis, Lo HaYom Tom LeYisrael. Right, but we're also going to daven Mincha on Thursday night.
Not so late.
Okay, whatever. So I will be here. I'll be in and out. Anyway, so the Mishnah says over here, Lo HaYom Tom LeYisrael Kachamisha Asar Ba'av L'Chayom HaKippurim. The greatest Yom Tovim of the Jewish calendar were Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. Shebehem Enos Yisrael Yotze Mechli Lavan. On these two occasions, the women used to go out in white clothing. As we spoke last night, they used to borrow the white clothing, shelo levayishes misha ein lo, so that they wouldn't embarrass someone who couldn't afford it. Okay, and they used to go and try to find a shidduch on Tu B'Av and on Yom HaKippurim. So the Mishnah says that they used to wear begadim levanim. If you look in our Chaim, in the Shulchan Aruch, it's in Tafresh Yud Sif Dalet. So the Mechaber discusses whether or not a person should wear white clothing on Yom Kippur. So Zakta Mechaber that a person should wear white begadim on Yom Kippur, begadim levanim unakiyim. Why? Is the same way Malachi Asharis are, in our mind, we have a picture of Malachi Asharis as being white, as being pure, so too, we should wear white clothing on Yom HaKippur. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, that's why we have the minhag to wear a kittel on Yom Kippur, because that's white, it's pure, it's something that's symbolic of the Malachi Asharis. So if you look in the Magen Avraham over there, he points out that since this is the reason to wear white on Yom Kippur, to compare ourselves to the Malachi Asharis, so he says, therefore, the minhag is that women do not wear white on Yom Kippur because a woman is not possible for her to be a malach. So since a woman is not the classical picture of a malach that we have in our mind, so therefore, says the Magen Avraham, women do not have to wear white clothing on Yom Kippur. If you look in the Matei Ephraim, on the bottom of the Matei Ephraim, so there are ha'aris by the Ktzei HaMatim. So he writes over there that no, he still feels that the women should wear white clothing on Yom Kippur. Why? So he says, because if you look in our Gemara says that the minhag used to be that the women used to go out on Yom Kippur and wear white begadim. So he says, based on our Gemara, you should wear white. Now, why did they wear white? So says the Ktzei HaMatim that the reason is based on the pasuk, Yim Yuchateichem Kashanim Kashelek Abino. It's symbolic that the same way our chatam, we expect that the Rabbanu Shlom will take our chatam and make them white, he'll clean us out, so too everyone should wear begadim na'im v'levanim on Yom HaKippur. Then says the Ktzei HaMatim, quoting the Matei Ephraim, however, the women should not wear jewelry on Yom Kippur. Why? So he says, because of Emes HaDin, a person should be careful that he shouldn't show as if he's in a relaxed form, as if he's happy and he's fine. He should show a little bit of Emes HaDin, so therefore the women should not wear jewelry. Frak the Minchas Alazah, the Munkat Yereb in his Tshuvas, he says, what do you mean? You're telling me that women don't wear jewelry on Yom Kippur? It's not true. Doesn't Tosfos say in Megillah? Two reasons why we lay in the Parsha of Arayos on Mincha on Yom Kippur. Right? By Mincha on Yom Kippur, we lay in the Parsha of Arayos. It has nothing to do with the day. So there's two different reasons why. So one reason that Tosfos says is since the women are all dressed up on Yom Kippur, Hayimukushadis Asatzman, they used to get all dressed up because it's Kavod Yantiv. So therefore, we need to make a small reminder to the men that you shouldn't get carried away when you look at the women who are all dressed up today with their jewelry. So Frek the Menchas Elazar, what are you talking about? How can you tell me in the Matei Ephraim that you shouldn't wear clothing? I'm sorry, you shouldn't wear jewelry on Yom Kippur. Don't we know that the whole reason why we lay in Parshas Arayos according to one day in Tosfos is because we want to warn the men to be careful not to look at the women's jewelry too much and get too enticed by their jewelry. So you have to explain that obviously the Ktzei HaMatim doesn't mean to say that you shouldn't wear any jewelry. He just means that they should tone it down a little bit less than they would generally wear to a fancy wedding, a fancy chasana. So we tell them, take something a little bit less for Yom Kippur to show that you have a little bit of Emes HaDin. So that's with regard to that. If you look in the Hasagas of Rabbi Kiveger on Shulchan Aruch there, in Ar Chaim, Simit Tafresh Yud, so Rabbi Kiveger writes a different reason that he saw in the Prima Gadim in the Sefer Tevas Goma why we should wear white on Yom Kippur. And that is the following. He says that, not to wear white, the Rabbi Kiveger makes just another din with regard to clothing on Yom Kippur. He says, Nogin shelo lulvosh zahav biyom HaKippur. On Yom Kippur, we don't wear any gold clothing. Why? Because the famous Klalim Rosh Hashanah en kateger nasa sonegar. And since we were nichshol in the Egel Azav, so therefore we don't want to get involved with anything that's gold on Yom Kippur, and we don't wear begadim zehuvim on Yom Kippur. We don't wear gold clothing. However, says the Prima Gadim, that Nashim, who did not give money, they didn't donate any money to the Egel Azav, women would be allowed to wear golden clothing on Yom Kippur. How do you like that? Right? So here we have Rabbi Kiveger quoting the Prima Gadim, that the women are able to wear begadim made out of zav on Yom Kippur, and he says, for that matter, a Levi can also wear, because Levim were not involved in the Egel Azav, Kohanim were not involved, so therefore Kohanim, Levim, and women are all allowed to wear Begadim Zahavim on Yom HaKippurim. However, in the end he writes that, no, maybe I'm not so convinced of this Chiddush, and he says maybe the women shouldn't wear the gold clothing either on Yom Kippur, because bottom line, who buys the women the jewelry? The men, right? The woman doesn't spend her own money to buy herself jewelry. Her husband is supposed to go ahead and buy her the jewelry, if he's the right kind of husband. So, and he says, even if he's not the right kind of husband, so she'll steal, whatever, she won't steal, but she'll take the leisure of going and buying herself a gift from the husband's money. So he says, bottom line is, this money to buy the golden jewelry is coming from the husband's pocket. So there's still a problem of Enkateger Nasas Anegi. So Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that the bottom line is, we should try to stay away from gold clothing on Yom HaKippurim. And as we discussed, there's an Indian to wear something white on Yom Kippur as well. That's over the kittel. Yeah.
Do women wear more jewelry on Yom Kippur than any other tamale? In fact, it's saying that the reason we
men club. Right. Tosfos says the reason why is because we don't want the men looking at them.
I mean, yeah, it's not more than any other country.
Right. So it could be just a practical thing that more women come to shul on Yom Kippur than on most other days in the year. Right?
So here,
what do you mean? It's not in anywhere else?
No. Not to the time they didn't have a neighbor, I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
They'll help take care of the children.
Yeah, it could be. That could be Wamshad, or you can say just on Yom Kippur, we want to have an extra Zahiris, we want to be extra Tar, extra Kaddish in our mind, so we're having a reminder that we should try to be very careful, extra careful on Yom Kippur, that we shouldn't have any Machshava Zaris when we're encountering women who are wearing fancy jewelry on Yom Kippur. Anyway, so here, when we look in this Gemara, the Gemara tells us clearly that these were the greatest Yom Tovim in the Jewish calendar, Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippurim. Very interesting. Frechter Itzvan Baba Basra, the same Gemara appears in Baba Basra. I don't have a Bekiyas at all. But this same Mishnah in Tainis, which a lot of us know from Tainis, really shows up in Baba Basra, Kuf Chafal Chamadal. So if you look in the Rishonim there, that's where a lot of the discussion is. So the Ritva over there in Baba Basra, Kuf Chafal writes that he doesn't understand. What do you mean? We have the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What does the Gemara tell us in Sukkah? Misha la ra Simchas Beis HaShoeva, la ra Simcha Miyama. If you didn't experience the time at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it was so amazing, it was so joyous, it was so exciting, so you don't have a clue what Simcha is all about. So how can you tell me over here that the greatest days of Yom Tov throughout the Jewish calendar were Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippurim? It's not true. What do you mean? We know that the greatest days of Simcha of Yom Tov were on Sukkot, maybe Pesach Shavuos, but for sure on Sukkot. So what do you mean? Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. That's the Ritva's kasha. So the Ritva is on Mahalach, and he says that no, because for some reason by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, only the big tzaddikim used to come to have that experience. As the Gemara tells us, the tzaddikim used to go and do dances and juggle and do different things, like the Gemara says in the end of Sukkah. So he says on Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that was a time for only the greatest tzaddikim would show up. But he says, when it comes to Tu B'Av, that was a time when everyone came out. Whether you were Tzaddik, whether you were Rasha, whether you were anyone, everyone came out. On Yom Kippur, everyone comes to Shul. So he says, that's a reason to have great Simcha, because we're bringing everyone together. It's not based on groups. It's not because you're a Tzaddik, you're greater, you're a big Chacham. No, it's everybody comes out. Zok the Ritva and Baba Basra. It sounds like a nice pshetel, but that's the Ritva's pshat.
The trouble is that they built the special things in the Beis HaShoeva.
Simchas Beis HaShoeva.
Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Only the Tzaddikim can't. Oh, Tzaddikim may have been the ones who
did everything.
All the juggling.
Right, so the Ritva says...
the women and the men and everybody was there.
Right, the Ritva says a suggestion. A little bit hard to hear. You're correct. It sounds like this was the party of all parties. Yeah, everyone was there. Also found it a little bit difficult to swallow. So I saw this afternoon...
That's so nice to sit and watch. Those are the guys that did. On Tuba, maybe they didn't sit and watch. They did.
Maybe they actually did something. Maybe that's what the Ritva means. It could be.
Why did they do on Tuba?
Right. Simchas Beis HaShoeva was so overcredited.
They were not part of it. They were away.
Removed.
They were just there to observe.
Not Tuba, what
could be. Tuba of everyone was together. So I don't know. Okay, so the Shemi Shmuel has his own shot, and this I find very fascinating. Shemi Shmuel says in Parshas Vaschanan, Shemi Shmuel is the son of the Avnei Nezer. He has a beautiful shot. He says, V'nira ki yadua she'en shum davar nirgash kol kach, rak mi pas yifucha. He says, when do we appreciate things most in our lives? When is the time when a person appreciates? Let's say, Rahman al-Islam, you lose a family member. Right? So that's when you start to appreciate them, because you realize, oh, I no longer have that. So now I would appreciate so much to have the opposite. Or you go to a blind man, and all of a sudden they do a surgery on him and he gets his eyesight back. Something that he hasn't had in 30 years. Now, is there anyone who appreciates the sunlight or appreciates eyesight more than him? Of course not. He was blind, and now he sees the opposite effect, so he sees that he's able to see. So it says the Shemi Shmuel that this is an obvious psychological feeling that we all have, that the most pronounced something can be in our mind is when we have the exact opposite feeling, and now it switches over on us and we feel something totally different. Therefore, he says, Hine kala yamim tovim, hem yimei kirva adam el Hashem Yisbarach. He says, you're right. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, everything is considered a rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's wonderful. We have a great time. We're being mesameach with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's great. However, aval ba'asher einam ba'im bizman ha'hipuch, lozeh einam kol kach nergashim. We don't get so carried away with the Simcha on Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos because we didn't just experience something which was the opposite of it. So, it's very nice and we celebrate and it's wonderful, but we don't know what it means to be very sad. However, he says, by Tuba Av, Shehazman Kodem, Hu Behisrachkus, by Tuba Av, when right before Tuba Av, we had a Tisha B'Av, and we felt so distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam, he says that we say in Yeshaya, Barachak Hashem Asa Adam, and he says this is what the Pasuk means in Koheles, Es Lirchok, that sometimes we have a time when we're far, we're distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he says, when we're coming off the heels of a Tisha B'Av, when we're feeling so down about ourselves and so depressed and so distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, then we can turn around and appreciate the Simcha so much more. Therefore, says the Mishnah, Tuba Av was considered one of the greatest Yamim Tovim because that really brought out the contrast very strongly. It's something that really made us feel the Simcha more than any other time in the year because that's something that was coming right off the heels of a Tisha B'Av. And what's with Yom HaKippurim? Why are we so excited on that Yom Tov? Says the Shem Yishmuel, Hu Bechina Smol Docha, because right before Yom Kippur we had a time when we were distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam. We didn't yet do tshuva. We weren't yet accepted by Him. And he says, "Valzem aftirim Rosh Hashanah." That's why in Rosh Hashanah we say, "From Yirmiyah Meirachak Hashem Nirali." From the distance, the Ribbono Shel Olam noticed me. He found me. He saw me. Even though I feel very distant from Him, I'm not close to Him at all. So therefore, he says, "Avachein haHiskarvis v'ha'Ava Shabahem." When I get close to the Ribbono Shel Olam on Yom Kippur, when I feel that experience of being in His presence, so now it's much more pronounced. It's something I could really enjoy. So that's what the Mishnah means. That the greatest 2 days of the Jewish calendar. It's not that we never were excited the rest of the year. It's that the Simcha was never as pronounced as it was on Tu B'Av and on Yom HaKippurim. That's the way the Shem Yishmuel answers the Ritva's Kasha. He doesn't quote the Ritva, but he's bothered with the same thing. Now, why is it that these two Yomim Tovim are singled out to be considered the two greatest days in the Jewish calendar? So that's with regard to that. Now, just some Minhagim that come up on Tu B'Av, some Halacha L'Maaseh, and with this we'll close. Right? Mincha Ma'ariv is? A couple of minutes. Okay, so the some Minhagim, and whatever we don't finish, we'll discuss next week. So some Minhagim that come up, Halacha L'maaseh, are the Maharil writes, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, Hilchos Tefillah, Zok the Maharil, that we don't say Tachanun on Tu B'Av, even during Shacharis, he says, right? Shacharis and Mincha, we don't say Tachanun. The Mishnah Berurah over there quotes B'Shem the Olas Tamid, that not only that, we don't just omit Tachanun on Tu B'Av itself, we leave it out as well on Erev Tu B'Av, the day before when we daven Mincha. Zakt the Mishnah Berurah B'Shem Le'olas Tamid further. If Tu B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we wouldn't say Avar Rachman, we don't say Tzitzkascha, we consider this a real bona fide Yantiv. He even quotes that there are those who say that we don't say Lam Natzeach. There are many Rishonim that believe we shouldn't say Lam Natzeach, but we don't take it that far. We obviously will be reciting Lam Natzeach even on Tu B'Av. I saw in the Munkacher Minhagim, which is the Sefer Darkei Chaim V'Shalom, it's quoted in a lot of the Halacha Svarim, so he writes that the minhag in his base matters was that even the day after Tu B'Av, he had a Isra Tu B'Av. Even the day after Tu B'Av, he wouldn't say Tachanun because he felt that Tu B'Av is considered one of the greatest Yom Tovim in the Jewish calendar for whatever reason you're going to say, Hasidisha reasons or Litvisha reasons, whatever you're going to say, but Lamaisa, he felt that this was a great yantiv, and therefore even the day afterward, he also used to leave out Tachanun. Zok demagen Avraham Tav Kuf Ayin Gimel, that from the fact that this is a great yantiv, therefore one is not allowed to fast on Tu B'Av. So, how many of us fast on a regular day of the year? Most of us do not, so it's not really speaking to us. However, says the Magen Avraham, this would have a very practical halacha l'maisa application. If you have a chasen, and we know the minig is for a chasen to fast on the day of his chasana, says the Magen Avraham in Tav Kuf Ayin Gimel, that if a chasen is getting married on Tu B'Av, he should not be fasting on that day. Why? Because Tu B'Av is a yantiv, and even though we have a minig to fast on the day of the chasana, it's not strong enough of a minig to push off the simcha of Tu B'Av. That's the way the Magen Avraham feels. The Rama writes in Siman... What? Oh, 1 second. Says the Rama in Siman Tavchav, correct, that we don't say Haskaras Neshamas on Tu B'Av, even if a person has yardside, and generally on a Monday or Thursday, if one would have yardside, he would say Haskaras Neshamas. Says the Rama in Siman Tavchav that we would not recite a Kalmali for him, we would not recite Haskaras Neshamas.
Oh, how about
fasting for the yardside? For sure not. For sure, that's less of a minig than a chasen. What was that?
Three times it's brought by Shulchan Aruch to fast for a parent.
It's brought in Shulchan Aruch, but the fasting of a chassan three times doesn't make it any more chamer. Three times Shulchan Aruch is quoting the same din, right? Tubav, you would not fast for a parent's yartzei. No, that's the same way a person would not fast if he's a chassan, and that's a very old minig. I think that's older than the minig. A lot of people do not have the minig to fast for a parent. I know my father said that before my grandfather passed away, he told him that you should never fast on a yartzei. Our minig is not to fast. So a lot of people have the minig not to. In Shulchan Aruch it is quoted, but a lot of people have the minig not to. And for sure, the minig of a chassan not fasting is of a chassan fasting on the day of his wedding is a lot older of a minig. One last thing that the Geshar HaChaim quotes, which is a sefer written by Rabbi Chiya Michal Tukachinsky, all about Hilchos Avelos. So he says, if Rachmana Litzlan there's a levaya on Tu B'Av, a person should not recite any hespedim. The same way on Yantif or on Rosh Chodesh, we wouldn't generally recite hespedim unless you have, you know, the regular heterim, which somehow we all find. I don't know, I've yet to come across a levaya on Chol Hamoed or Rosh Chodesh or whatever, where they don't say hespedim anyway. But the bottom line is, the Geshar HaChaim says we should try and not recite hespedim on Tu B'Av, because Tu B'Av is considered a day of great simcha. The Rama writes as well, which is a very important din. The Rama says, based on the Gemara in Baba Basar Kuf Chaf Aleph, says the Rama in Yerodea Reish Mem Vav, which is all about Hilchos Talmud Torah, that a person, once Tu B'Av sets in, a person should be mosif into his learning at nights, because now the nights are starting to get a little bit longer. So he says, we're mandated by the Ribono Shel Olam, as the Gemara tells us very clearly, that from Tu B'Av and on, we have to spend our nights wisely. We have to make sure not to waste time at nights, because now we have plenty of time. We all get home from work, and now he says that there's plenty of time at night, and a person should be very careful. You know, the Rambam writes that the ikar time for a person to learn is at night. That's the time when you have the most siyata d'shmaya from the whole day long. So it's something to take seriously. Like the Gemara says, al ya'abid afilu achas milelosav, a person should be careful not even to lose one night of his life. He should use his time wisely, and that's what the Rambam says over here. From Tuba Avon, we have a mitzvah, special mitzvah, that we should add on extra time and commitment to our learning than we normally would during the rest of the year. I guess we will finish up with the reasons for the Simcha of Tu B'Av. We'll finish that up on Thursday night, which is actually Tu B'Av itself. Have a wonderful